so glad you came to save us.
This song, Jeff. You're gonna. This song is called "You Pick Me Up." The next one, and there are some actions. So follow the people up front, and the words are really easy to start off with. And maybe you can repeat after me quickly. It goes, na 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 na, na 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 na, hey hey hey, praise God, na 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 na.
Make me stronger.
You give me joy all day long.
And I know that you love me. And I know that you care. When I'm down and I'm lonely, you're always there.
You pick me up. You make me stronger. You give me joy all day long.
Sorry, the words only came a little bit later on, and I was getting looks from the front here going, Sean, why is no one singing? Like, no, I don't know. The next song is My Redeemer Lives, and I think you know this one.
Rescued my soul, he did. His blood has covered my sin. I believe. My shame is taken away. My pain.
Why don't you have a seat, please? Thanks.
Why? No, one more.
Oh, is there one more?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
just
yeah.
Wanted to check if your legs are still working. We have one more song, and this is a song that the kids go absolutely crazy, and it's a scripture verse, and I'm sure many of you will heard it. It's called Romans 16:19 says. So if you don't know what Romans 16:19 says, stand with us, and we'll show you. Have we got that slide? Oh, there we go.
Hi everyone, my name is Andy Arthur. I'm from Saskatoon First Baptist Church, and I've been going to camp my whole life. This is my fifth summer working up at camp, and I just wanted to talk to you guys about how camp has impacted my life. 2 years ago, I graduated the MDT program, which is a 3-year program, and it really changed my life. Some of my favorite times of life have been at MDT on solitude, just kind of being by myself out in God's creation, and just really looking for Him, where He is and what He wants me to do. I'll just tell you one quick story of when I was out on solitude for level 2. So we go for about 12 hours solitude for level 2. And I was out there, and I had kind of done some of the stuff I wanted to do, and I was really just looking for God, trying to find where He was. And I'm a really big nature lover, and I saw a squirrel that was kind of running around, so I decided I'd follow him, see where he went. And he kept just climbing trees, and he would hop from branch to branch, but he would never run very far away from me, and he would just kind of stop and look back at me every time I caught up to him. And then after a while, I just asked, just in my head, like, God, is this You leading me? And the squirrel turned around, looked back at me, and nodded its head. And I watch squirrels a lot, and I've never ever seen them nod their head. So that was just pretty, just like I could feel that, like, yes, God was with me. And just like the whole experience of being by yourself, like just little things, like maybe it's an insect just crawling. You can just see like God in that. And now that I've been working for 5 years, I've started to see some of the change in some of the campers that come to us. Sometimes it's a change of heart. They just kind of realize that, like, you know, maybe there's more to life than just kind of having fun and doing what you want. Sometimes they see that, you know, there's a place for loving others, and they can find God and just kind of build a relationship for Him by themselves. It's just been really exciting to me. And this year when I came up, there wasn't a whole lot of us at the start, and I kind of got worried that I was kind of one of the senior staff, that I had been working for more years than anyone else at camp. I just kind of felt inadequate, like that I just wasn't ready for that challenge. I was going to read you this verse. I remember reading it several years ago, just being really encouraged by it. This is God speaking to Jeremiah. "O sovereign Lord," I said, "I can't speak for you. I'm too young." The Lord replied, "Don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people, for I'll be with you and will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken." And the Lord reached out and touched my mouth and said, "Look, I put words in your mouth. Today I appoint you to stand up against the nations and kingdoms. Some you must uproot and tear down, destroy and overthrow. Others you must build up and plant." It's just really encouraging to see that the times when we think we're inadequate and we'll never be able to do it, that's the times when God really uses us, and we can just lay down ourselves and just let God take over and do what He wants us to do. And that's kind of what camp's about. It doesn't matter kind of how well-trained our staff is, they're always going to be inadequate for the needs that come up. But God is always adequate, and He always has our backs, and He'll always protect us. And that's just kind of what I've been finding this summer. So let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the protection you give us and the help you bring to us, Lord. I just thank you so much that these people have been able to support us in prayer and in finances, Lord. And I just thank you so much that they have just been with us when we're at camp, that they have our backs too, Lord. And I just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we have a slideshow. No slideshow. Sean's coming. Oh, no, Jeff's coming. I'm confused.
As you see, every one of our staff and has a story, and every one of the campers who come to us are impacted by camp in some way. And I'm actually one of those people who never had the camp experience when I was a child. I didn't even know summer camp existed. All I knew was throwing hay bales and playing softball. That was my summer when I was a kid, and I didn't know there was such thing as camp, but it's a great experience for each one who does come, and many of these children get the opportunity to come year after year. And as Andy's mentioned, as you see these children over the years, you see the changes in their lives and where they've come from and where they're growing in their life and where God is taking them. And then some of these staff that we have been campers and have worked their way up and have become staff members. So that's a great thing to see as we continue in this great ministry of camping. It's a very fruitful ministry, and perhaps some of you can testify that perhaps your decision for Christ and the life-changing decisions that you've made in your life have perhaps been at camp, and it's a great place to experience God and to learn to follow Him. One of our goals at camp is to introduce people to Christ, but the underlying principle of everything that we do is the principle of excellence. And we just sang that song from Romans 16:19. I think I put the scripture passage up on the screen. Is it still there, Joe? I think it's right after that. But anyways, I'm just going to base what I say today on this little passage of scripture. If we think of the word excellence, what would you think of right off? Perhaps you think of everything being just so and just perfect. But that isn't really what excellence is about. Excellence is actually striving to do your best at all times and in all things. If we strive for perfection, I'm afraid that we will always be disappointed. If we strive for perfection, we will always come up short. So an attainable goal for each of us as believers and as staff members of the camp is to strive for excellence. And Since Sean is the only one wearing our staff shirt today, he'll have to model. But on the arm of our shirts, we have the word excellent. And that's sort of our basis, our motto for this year, is the whole concept of excellence and striving for excellence in all that we do. Not perfection, because we will all fall short of that, but at least striving to do our best in everything. And in this particular passage of Scripture, now, for the song, it was kind of modified a bit. It's not exactly the way we sing it, but I'll read you this little passage. In Romans chapter 16, I'll start at verse 17 just to give context to this particular verse. It says, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but rather their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." And as Paul gives his final greetings to the church at Rome, he just reminds them of these two simple things, that there's going to be some issues, some problems. So he gives them a warning. He says, first of all, beware of particular things that might happen in your church, some divisions, some who teach doctrine that is contrary. And then the second thing, he commends them. He says, your obedience is known to all people. The fact that you're following God with a true and a pure heart, and that you're striving to be excellent in everything, is a commendable point. And then he gives a promise in the end, and he says, and because of your obedience, your faith, because of your striving for excellence and to follow God with all your heart, then God will crush Satan under your feet. You can defeat him. You can have the power and the victory over him because of your obedience to the faith. And so excellence is something that is worth striving for in all of our lives, not only in our camping situation where we need everybody to just be just up there and ready for the challenge that comes to us, because many of the children who come to us come from varied backgrounds, some difficult situations perhaps, and we're ready for those, and we're striving to be excellent for them, but also we're striving to be excellent for the glory of God in everything that we do. And this concept of excellence is found all throughout the Scripture. I think of Paul as he wrote to the Romans just a couple chapters back, and in chapter 12 he explains to them all about spiritual gifts. He explains to them all about the wonderful power and ability that they have in Christ. He says, "But now I will show you a more excellent way," he says. You may have all the abilities and all the gifts and everything, but if you don't exercise it in love, then you'll be like a brass, sounding brass, and a tinkling cymbal. You need to take that excellence and use it in love. And then the Scripture tells us that our purpose in life is actually to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he lived his life in excellence. We know that he was the perfect, sinless Son of God who came with a very great purpose to give his life for us, that we might be saved. And he lived a life of excellence. And we're to model that. We're to emulate that in our lives. Excellence in everything that we do. In the classic movie, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, I don't know how many have ever seen that great, great classic movie. I'm just joking, of course. But it's a good movie. I like it. But anyways, it's a story of two almost high school dropouts who have a destiny to become very famous in the future. And so a man from the future named Rufus is sent to them to help them graduate high school, first of all, to become a successful band called Wild Stallion. And that will become the basis of our future society in 2025. I think that's made up, but anyways. Anyways, their whole society is based on this whole idea of peace and love. And then and in the end, they have this little saying that they say every time they greet the people. They say, "Be excellent to each other." And then the second part, "Party on, dudes," but We probably won't use that one, but be excellent to each other. And I think that's a good admonition for each and every one of us today. Be excellent in all that you do. Be excellent to each other. And that is as we come to the end of this passage, there's the key. How can we become excellent? And Paul says to the people here, he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Through the grace of God, through his power, through his ability working within us, we can become excellent in everything, excellent to each other. So let's just take that as we go through our lives, as we walk, no matter what we do, no matter where we are in life, no matter what our position, our station, our job in life, let's do it with excellence for the glory of God and for the benefit of one another. Thank you. We're going to sing another song that just exemplifies this excellence in our life. It's called, I've Got the Joy, Joy, Joy. Anybody here have joy, joy, joy?
Amen.
I hope so. We're going to stand and sing.
The other two verses there were, I've got the love of Jesus, then the peace that passes understanding. That's why, that just didn't come up, unfortunately. So that video, that the slideshow isn't going to show, I don't think. So we're just going to ask Jordan if he would come and share a little bit about his life with you. Please take a seat.
Hello. Okay, I'm supposed to do better than Jeff and Andy now, so I got to see what I can do. Okay, I was supposed to come up here and tell you guys about how the Quest Crystal Lake has really helped my life and how it's like really changed me and how it's affected me positively for Christ and everything. So I'm going to try to do that. For me, camp has always been a place where I felt God the most. You know, as soon as I'd walk through, past the sign, you know, there, instantly I could just feel the presence of Christ there. Christ would always be there. You could just feel him just moving there. And that's always probably one of the main things I loved about it. No matter how young I was and how I grew in Christ, once I got there, you could just feel God just radiating off that place. And you knew that there was a God, and you knew that there was a place for you and that God loved you. It's a place that has impacted my life in such a strong way. I remember going there when I was like 9 or 10, and I was like super scared. I was like bawling my eyes out, trying to figure out why my parents were making me go to camp. And like 3 hours later, I loved it because all the leaders there were just like phenomenal, right? And they're just like so accepting, and I'm praising God, and I'm learning about things I never thought I'd learn about, and I'm doing all these things that I just thought were phenomenal. And so then, you know, the next couple of years, I kept going back, and camp's always been an escape for me. It's always been a place where I could just, you know, I could call it home. I could just go there and say, no, this is where I find my comfort, because I learned about Christ, and Christ is my comfort, right? And so through camp, I was able to really, really, you know, get close to God. And by getting close to God, I was able to constantly, constantly remember Him and constantly get close to Him. It's camp that really influenced my baptism when I was 11 years old. I mean, it's really young to get baptized at 11, but I really felt that God called me to do it. And so I went to my pastor in Saskatoon at this time, and I'm like, man, I want to get baptized. And he couldn't believe why, because I was just this little man, you know, not understanding anything. But I said I had to do that. And ever since then, you know, my life's changed. Now, God allows things to come at you harder right away. You know, something like that happens, you know, where you're really giving your life over to God. God allows Satan to really come into your life and make it really, really difficult for you. But, you know, being baptized, that really tells you that you are going to be a servant of Christ and that you are going to do what you're going to do for God. Camp has always just strengthened that. Hell has always strengthened that belief in me that no matter what happens in my life, that God will be there and that God will always be there for me and that He'll always be God above everything, you know. God's always at that place and He's always going to be with me because of that. Where am I? Okay, so realistically, you guys don't really have a reason to believe me and all that I'm saying about how good camp is. Maybe you guys haven't gone there or whatever, but it is a really great place. Now, whether that place where you feel God most is the Quest of Christopher Lake, or whether it's the camp next to it, or whether it's a whole different place, all I pretty much want to encourage all of you here is to really make sure that you're always finding God in some place, whether it just be at your home, or whether it be at your work, or whether it be where you are. You know, God will be there, and God will, you know, take everything away that seems too rough for you, you know. And so, for me, you know, I go to camp to really strengthen my life. You know, it's once a year I go there, and I can constantly just really, really affirm myself in God. But that doesn't stop there, obviously. But camp has really helped that. So, yeah, I mean, Christ makes Himself evident there. He makes Himself evident in the people that work there. He makes Himself evident in how everything flows there. And so God's really, really been so great in that place. And it's been a real blessing that He called me there, that He's said, you know what, I'm going to allow you to meet these people. I'm going to allow you to go there. I'm going to allow you to be this person, to meet these people, and become who you are for me. You know, and so God's so great like that whatever happens, you know, He's really going to allow you to be there and allow you to feel Him. So to really finish this off, I want to thank you guys for all the support that the camps had. I mean, we appreciate it so much, whether it's just in your prayers, which means so much, or whether it's financial or volunteering or whatever it is that you guys do there. It means so much to the camp and to the kids that come there and to the counselors that work there. So we appreciate everything. Camp is filled with God's love, and you can never go wrong with God's love. So then you can't go wrong with that camp. So I thank you, and God bless.
A DVD. Thank you, Joe. Or just a little movie, just to refresh your minds. You will have seen it before. You were introduced to one of our speakers at our winter senior tea camp. His name is Tim Hawk. And the spelling on the screen is going to be wrong, so Tim, I ask for your forgiveness. But he is our speaker this week for junior teen camp. The guys that were over there just loved him, and we love him, and we're so pleased. He came over all the way from Manitoba yesterday, and he almost didn't make it because of a literally debilitating back injury. But he's going to need your prayer this week. He is going to be in a lot of pain as he speaks. Up until Friday, he couldn't sit in a car for more than 20 minutes or half an hour at a time, and they just drove from Manitoba. So, but anyway, he's crazy, and you'll get to meet him in a minute or so.
Hey, my name's Tim Houck, and I'm going to be up here during Junior Teen Camp at the Quest this summer. And I'm at the Quest right now, but I don't see you. I want to see you, and I hope you want to see me. We're going to have a great time. Come on out this July 20 to 25, Junior Teen Camp at the Quest. Right now, though, I gotta go. It's time to go swimming. Hopefully, we'll see you this summer. Thanks.
And that is true, what Tim said. Everything that we do there is about the kingdom. And we're going to sing a song now called Every Move I Make. And you can't sing the song without moving. So stand with us, and we're just going to have a great time praising the Lord in this song. Take a seat. In South Africa, we have Pringles as well. And the whole Pringles logo, Pringles, you know the Pringles, right? The whole logo for Pringles is once you pop, you can't stop. Now, I don't know if it's the same here. I haven't seen Pringles adverts in Canada, but that is true for my little son, Evan. He can't eat very much, and that what he can eat, he either likes or doesn't like, and he really likes Pringles. And one of our friends back in South Africa, when Evan was just a baby, his kids were a little bit older, and he said, you know, children can negotiate. He's kind of a high executive in a company and stuff, and he's sent on courses teaching you how to negotiate in business and things. And he says, every one of the principles that they taught him on this very expensive course on business negotiation, his 2-year-old actually knows.
And if you've ever had a chew hold, now let me get back to the Pringles. Evan always just, if he wants, he calls them chippies, and he'll just say chippy, then you know, and you say no, and he goes chippy, no, chippy chippy chippy, no no no. Evan, you're gonna have a timeout. Chippy, go to your room. Chippy, Evan, stop that. Chippy. We have tried. Now Lindsay and I consider ourselves to be quite resilient and strong-willed. Nothing. He gets his chippy. And in fact, it was so bad. No, don't say, It's not wise as parents to give in for many reasons. But one of them is, if you go to Saskatoon for the day like we did yesterday, and you come back and all he's had all day is chippies because he doesn't want to eat anything else, he tends to shower the front of the car when he wakes up from his sleep and himself and carries on. Now, why am I telling you the story about negotiation and chippies and that? Well, you know, we read in God's Word that we need to pray without ceasing. And we see in one of Jesus' teaching in Luke chapter 18, he teaches a parable about a woman who understood this principle of negotiation. And the parable was about a woman who goes to the governor and says, you know, you've got to avenge me, you've got to do this, you've got to do this for me, you've got to do this. And she carries on at him the whole time. So this governor finally just says, okay, give this woman what she wants. And the parable is about us as God's people. We can go to him, and we can go to him, and if we go back, and if we go back, and if we go back, he's going to give us what we want. And I just remember that pray without ceasing, you know, Evan's negotiation strategy. Those things are going to work to achieve just amazing things for the kingdom. Well, I'm telling you that because we need your prayer. We need your constant prayer. We need you to be beating at the doors of heaven, spiritually speaking, and saying, God, help those people. God, keep them safe. God, bless those speakers. They are handling your word, and that is such a delicate matter with children, to just handle the word of God correctly. But Jeff also said something a little earlier, that if we have, you know, if we're as excellent and we're the best camp in Saskatchewan with the coolest counselors and we have the best band, I mean, we do, as you can see. But, you know, if we, you know, we get top speakers from all over Canada, and if we don't have love, then that's nothing. And I just wanted to share with you for about a couple minutes today just on the love of God that we so desperately need in our environment and yours. I heard a lot about love when I was a kid and as a teenager and even as a young adult. And what I heard about love was, you know, you've got to be loving. Christians are loving people. But I understood love with Hollywood's version of love. And that love never lasted, that love ended up in divorce, that love ended up hurting someone, you know, that kind of thing. But that is not the love that the New Testament speaks about. That love, that agape love, is a word in Greek that we don't have in English. And I'm sure many of you know it. That word is a self-sacrificing love, not a self-serving love. That love is a love that just gives and doesn't want to receive. That is a love that forgives and doesn't hold grudges. That is a love that isn't jealous about someone else or what they do. Now, as I'm speaking, I'm sure you can imagine, well, yes, that's what they need up at camp. They need to not hold grudges. They need to be, when they're tired, to not get snappy with each other. They need to have patience with the children who might come with the same question or with a child that is really difficult or surviving on very little sleep and very long days. That love is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And you know it so well. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and although I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods and feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not all puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil.
does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. And he ends up in verse 13 of chapter 13. And now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. I want to ask you if you will pray for us that we will have that love that is described there. The only way we can do that is not through trying to be really strong and, yes, I must be loving. Yes, I must be forgiving. Yes, I must, because then it's all me. It's only Christ that can impart that love into my heart, into their hearts, and into your hearts. It's only Christ that can do that. And so please pray with us that it will be Christ that will be giving us that love. So that these children, some of them who might not experience a lot of love away from that place, will know that there is a difference. That they will know what real love is. We're just going to sing a couple more songs. So thank you for bearing with us. Thank you for just sharing with us today. And we're going to, a little bit afterwards, when we have coffee and things, we'd love to just meet you and we'd love to hear your stories about camp. So please just stand with us for the last couple of songs. Sorry, just the last one song. It's called How Great Is Our God. And we will be doing the offering during this time as well. I just want to say, you know, we come to church and I don't know, like, God is a God of order and our services must be ordered. But I'm telling you, God works out at camp and it is often very disorganized. But somehow he gets through that. So I do apologize for that. And can those that are doing the offering, please come forward. Thank you.
Worthy of all praise, my heart will sing.
Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you that we can bring our gifts to you. We thank you that you have provided so much for us and that you promise to continue to provide all of our needs according to your riches in glory. And Father, I pray, as we have all spoken today and we've shared this common theme, Father, we want to do all to your glory. Father, we want to love like Christ loved. We want to have the wisdom when we speak to each other and to our work colleagues and to our children and to other people's children. We want to speak with the wisdom of Jesus. Lord, we cannot do this on our own. You know that. It's only your grace and your mercy poured into our lives that enables us to do anything which is good and pleasing to you. So, Father, we bless you, we love you, and we thank you for being here with us. Bless us now as we go, and give us strength during this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please, I believe there is coffee in that afterwards, so come and join us. There's always some good snacks as well. So, and we'd love to meet you, so come say hi.